This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
And in conjunction with Capricorn FM, of course, Lerato Mbele is having a conversation with the acting CEO of South African Tourism, Themba Khumalo. They're talking about, you know, the bouncing back of SAT after the pandemic and just some of the miraculous or marvelous, you know, efforts that young people, that people in the tourism sector and just South Africans generally have taken in trying to rebuild this particular sector. They are getting back into that conversation. So let us cross back to Power 987.
Tourism, the economy, the opportunities. Yes, many trade winds, headwinds, difficulties. But South Africa's in recovery mode, not least because of you, your actions, South Africans wanting to discover your country. And so we're in a conversation with the acting CEO of South African Tourism, Themba Khumalo, and he's speaking to us here, the listeners of Power 98.7, as well as the listeners of the Capricorn Experience at Capricorn FM in Bulawayo, Limpopo. And thank you so much to the team led by Hlekani Shikwambana and the listeners too. Themba, thank you so much for being here and talking to us about the opportunities that exist. So just before the news, we were talking about, you know, the high petrol price. It could be a put off for the drivers who need to drive around, or it's going to raise costs for bus travel, the air ticket prices, because so many airlines have been grounded, and whether or not you see this as a temporary blip or something that we need to plan around.
Okay, so now thank you for that comment. So that takes us now away from the demand side and from the value chain onto the supply side. Okay, one of the things that is absolutely critical for us to always, you know, keep in mind is that on the supply side of tourism, you've got to have products, you've got to have people, you've got to have places, and those will orchestrate two things. They'll orchestrate experiences, and they'll orchestrate events that cause people to travel.
Right.
And that combination, that Rubik's Cube of issues, you know, is what we have to constantly try and find, you know, balance with. So you're quite right. You know, if you've got a Rubik's Cube, you can get the blue side right, and then all of a sudden the white side is out or the red side is out, and we have to constantly keep all of those pieces moving in order, you know, to keep the rhythm of the organization. The petrol price and, you know, the fuel price is not a South Africa issue, it's a global issue.
Yeah.
Something happens in the Ukraine and Russia that is outside of our control. You know, oil pipelines get affected, the fuel price, the crude oil price goes up, you know, and we're all affected. We all need to adjust to, you know, to global events, just like we adjusted, you know, to what happened with COVID. And these are things that we have to just constantly manage as we go along. I want to, though, move the conversation, if I may, onto, you know, what happens on the supply side of tourism. The supply side is where the rubber hits the road. It's the hotel that you get, you know, you get to. It's the golf course that you visit. It's the spa that you go to. And I want to tell you the story. So, you know, I was speaking to a very wealthy, you know, gentleman in New York the one time, trying to bring him into South Africa, you know, and bring his business, you know, and bring big incentive groups into South Africa. So he said to me, you know, what's your favorite hotel? What's the best hotel? So I told him. He says, what's the best golf course? I told him. What's the best game drive, you know, that I can go on? So I told him. And he had pictures on his desk with him and all these presidents and, you know, heads of state. And then he said to me, so tell me, in your best hotel, what is the name of the chef of the hotel? He said, and in that hotel, what's the name of the butler that looks after the presidential suite? And he said, what's the name of the caddy that caddied for this head of state when he played on this golf course in South Africa? And what is the name of the game ranger that took this head of state when he went on his game drive with his family? And what's the name of the head of the lodge that they stayed at? Clearly, I didn't know the answers to those questions. And he said to me, at a certain level of actualization as a traveler, he says, my house probably has got a better suite than that suite.
Hotel.
that hotel. You know, my private golf course, you know, is probably better than that one. But the issue is not about the quality necessarily of the product. Yes, it needs to be world class. But what is the story about the people? The people that actually make this experience so special.
Yeah.
Because next time when he meets with these heads of state, they're not going to talk about the hotel. They'll talk
before.
About the people that made the holiday so special.
I'm glad you're saying this because I wanted to ask you, in a marketing campaign, particularly out of South Africa, what is the story of South Africa? Because in South Africa, when we face the home truths, it's hard. It's a story of crime. It's a story of unrest. It's a story of women not being safe, traveling alone. That's the story of South Africa right now at this juncture. What is the story that's told about South Africa to the world traveler?
I'll answer that question in a moment, but let me also say this to you. Every country has got its challenges. You can go to the UK and you'll experience, you know, stuff that will make your skin crawl.
Highly unlikely.
You can go, trust me.
I used to live there.
I've been to certain parts of London that are not very savory. You know, you go to Brazil, you know, you go to different parts of the world. You go to New York, there's certain places you just don't walk at night.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends what you dial up and what you dial down. And what those nations have been able to do is dial up the positive and dial down the noise on the other one. And when you are in control of the global media platforms, you're able to do that. When you're not in control of the global media platforms, you're not able to dial up and dial down. That is not to say that there are no issues. There are fundamental issues. But I choose, and as South African tourism and everyone that markets this country, we choose and we will continue to say we need to dial up the things that we are known for. When people, there's a departure survey that we do. So we run a survey with people coming into the country, especially those that travel for the first time, and then we ask them when they leave. And
where do you ask them?
At the airport,
okay.
At the airport, you know, and online.
Okay.
And we also correlate to what we're seeing, you know, in the online environment. And when you compare those things, people say, I just did not know that this country is so beautiful and that the people are so warm and friendly. There is something, you know, when you go to the UK, to London, you don't go there to, when you go there, you see royalty, you see, you know, establishment, you see all of that.
Art.
When you go to New York, you know, you're blown away by the buildings. When you go to Tokyo, you know, you'll see, you know, technology and things like that. But when you come to South Africa, the sentiment study that we do says people feel joy.
Okay.
Joy. They feel an emotion that they cannot feel anywhere else. So we are not selling necessarily a product or an experience and an event. Those are the orchestration platforms. But ultimately, what people feel is they feel an emotion,
mm-hmm.
and they feel an inner joy and an inner renewal that they cannot experience right. anywhere else in the world. Therefore, you ask me about, you know,
what's the story?
The story is that you come to South Africa, especially now in a post-pandemic world, or a with-pandemic world, a yeah. with-COVID world.
Yeah.
You come to South Africa to live again. You come to South Africa to feel alive again.
Okay.
You come to South Africa to be renewed from the inside out. You come to South Africa to have your mental models that you had about what Africa could be.
Mm-hmm.
For those to be shattered, to be reshaped, and to leave Africa, to leave South Africa with a new perspective of what the continent really is about.
So do you think the average person has a role to play in amplifying the tourism opportunity? And what I mean by it is, I just may be a woman who's selling a pair of shoes in a shopping mall, but a foreigner comes into our store to buy that pair of shoes. That interface, I'm not just a shoe salesperson. I'm also an ambassador for the country.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest drives that we're going to be doing together with Brand SA and, you know, Invest SA and Proudly SA is to really drive the social cohesion around the hospitality that we give to people that come into the country to invest, that come into the country to visit, that come into the country to live, you know, or even whether it's for a short time or for a prolonged time, is really to make people feel the hospitality that we know and we're known for, mm-hmm. you know, around the world. So that big social cohesion program is part of what we are going to be doing and rolling out over the next couple of months.
Can we talk about job creation? Because yes. this is a sector that has employed nearly 2.8 million people. That number's declined by about 34% in the last 32% in the COVID world. But we understand that that's a
global issue.
That's a global issue, and it's a market force
yeah.
at the time. But it's a very important job creator, direct jobs and indirect jobs seasonally. So young people are desperate for jobs. Young people are desperate for experiences. There's a synergy here. What kind of opportunities exist in this recovery phase and beyond?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you asked that question. So the whole role of tourism and bringing people into the country, so you could, there's three ways you do it. Either people come and they invest in your country, you know, in projects that create jobs, or you export product and the money comes in from your exports. And then the other one is for people to physically come and spend money in the economy, which is tourism. The youth. So if you look at what has happened with tourism going through COVID, is that a lot of the bricks and mortar part of the tourism sector, especially the sales channel and the experience orchestration channel, those, you know, have disappeared.
So what do we mean by that? Hotels, restaurants, tour operators?
No, I'm talking about more about the information sharing within the sector.
Okay.
So all of that has been replaced by digital platforms.
Okay.
So people buy online now. People, you know, don't buy, you know, off-the-shelf experiences anymore. They want a bespoke, you know, experience. So they want to buy from here and there and there. You know, it's the pizza effect. So you get a hotel room, yeah, but, you know, you add on a whole bunch of things to create your own product. Yeah. So that's what people are doing now, that they're designing their own itineraries. And that is all orchestrated online. So what we're finding is that a lot of young people are coming into the sector through the technology side and the content creation side, rather than through the traditional channels, right? And when people come into the country because they met people online, you know, that gave them certain content experiences, when they're in the country, they now have digital tour guides that are able to help them navigate. And so that whole digital economy around tourism is mostly and primarily youth driven. So there is the formal one way. I mean, you've got, you know, people that go to hotel schools and, waiters, waitresses. So you still have that. But what we're seeing is an emerging of a completely new platform within tourism. And it is exciting, I tell you.
It's a TikToker saying, taste a rooibos tea uniquely South African. They create content around that. And somebody comes in and says, I want to sample that.
Exactly. So they come in, they'll book their hotel. But then where they go when they're here is all directed by people that are TikTokers, that are, you know, digital salespeople and orchestrating, you know, those experiences. So it's a whole new economy and it is very exciting, you know, for us.
Something we didn't talk about is the destinations off the beaten track. And I'll say this, I've just said, oh, Cape Town is wonderful. It's got the eighth wonder of the world. It's winelands, da-da-da-da-da. But that's the beaten track. And yet South Africa has so much more to offer than Durban and the Kruger National Park and Cape Town. You've got nuggets in Knysna and Plettenberg Bay. Hey? Mm. Nuggets in Knysna. If I so much as see that as
nuggets
a...
Nuggets
if I so much as see that as a...
You're
going to
copyright that.
Nuggets in Knysna. You know, you've got the St. Lucia wetlands in the north. Jozini, you've got the Waterberg. You know, for people who are astronomers and love the great outdoors, you've got Sutherland. But we don't market those places, and yet they're all here.
So I'm glad you said that. So we've got our domestic campaign, you know, the short left, you know, campaign. So, you know, there's, you know, take a short left, you know, and enjoy your country firstly.
Yeah.
Because it is your country and you need to enjoy it. And there's nothing better than a short left, right? All of those experiences on the short left platform, okay, have been marketed to South Africans.
Okay.
And one of the things that we're harvesting now as part of our campaign globally is all of those experiences that we know that we've never really shared with the world. We're now taking them off that platform and marketing them internationally. So what you'll see in the campaigns coming up now is a very refreshed face to the world, which, yes, has the anchors in the things that people know, but we're really taking people into deep immersive experiences. Right. One of the things that's happening now is we've got, as part of Tourism Month, because Tourism Month is coming up now in September, as you know, what we'll be doing is we'll be bringing people from all over the world. It's a mega familiarization trip from all our core markets. We're flying people in, content creators, etc., but we're not taking them to the places that they would usually have gone to. We're taking them into that short-lived space, into those deep immersive places, and they will then create the content and send it back out into the world, and that will then, you know, catalyze that TikToker platform that we were talking about, so that the digital tourism economy really begins to boom. So that is one of the next things that we're doing.
In the spirit of patriotism, I hand over Nizna Nuggets.
And I take it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so Tourism Tuesdays, that's one of the campaigns. As you say, Tourism Month is coming up. So tell us about the big campaigns that are going to be rolled out and what we're going to see.
All right. So in February, we rolled out our global campaign, which is now rolling out globally. It is, you know, entitled Live Again. It is an invitation to the world to come and experience the joy, you know, of being free in the open spaces, having the minds renewed and having the souls renewed from the inside out, stimulated by the beauty of the country and the hospitality of our people. So that campaign is out, it's rolling out globally, we're intensifying it. As I said, the second phase of it is to now physically bring people in to actually come and live again and drive that testimonial into the rest of the world. That is a fabulous platform. On the business event side, because people don't only come here for holiday.
Yeah.
They come here for meetings, for incentives, for conventions, for exhibitions and events. They come in for all of that. So we're also driving a campaign in that space. We're driving big bids to bring big events into the country. And all of that, you know, is under a B2B campaign called Open Doors, that our doors are open to come and do business, etc., etc. We have got excellent, excellent reasons for people to come and run the meetings here. We've got innovation out of our CSIR. We've got, you know, different associations that are represented here, but those big global conventions have never come into the country. So all of that is part of our big drive in order to recover tourism.
All right, so we've got a few callers who are coming through. Temba, who just want to engage you briefly. Jonas in Mahlaka, in Mamelaka, hello.
Good morning, Lerato and Temba, Kumalo, and how are you?
I'm very well, brother, and how are you?
Temba, yeah, you touched something that I can call it the core of the economy, which is tourism. And then, a lot of time we get this question, the people who visit our country. How do you travel to our nearest town? And the answer is, I use a taxi. And then they start by saying, is it safe? Then, meaning our transport discourages these people.
Okay.
It's a big question mark, Kuti. Is it safe? Now, in short, I wish you can, one day you can address this.
Okay.
It's difficult that the market is there, but keep the focus. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Jonas. Thabo and Mamelodi, good day.
Hi, Lerato.
Hi, go ahead.
In your case, Lerato, you know, as much as we want to travel, you know, me and my partner and my children, there are a lot of things that deter us from doing that. For one, the economy is too tight. You know, everything is so much expensive. Mm. To your guests there, are there any maybe beautiful places that are affordable? Because of, to me, I think, you know, the tourism industry, it is designed only for those that can afford. You know, because of, even you want to travel internationally, you know, using SAA is more expensive than using other airlines, and then I don't know why is that.
Okay.
But I think, to me, if there are places that are so nice that they don't get the advertising travelers, let them be there so that we can also travel. Because we cannot, you know, sit in one room wanting to travel, but we cannot afford. Let them make places that we can afford.
Okay, Thabo, thank you for that. So let's start off with how to integrate the public transportation system into the tourism economy. And that's a safety issue. Yes, it's not for you to do, but it's an important lobby you need to push with the government, the stakeholder.
Absolutely. So two things. As I sit here right now, the team that I work with is sitting with all our value chain partners discussing this very issue, because we're going to reintegrate our tourism value chain in order for it to be efficient. In September, you know, the TBCSA, the Tourism Business Council, has already announced we'll be having a conference of all stakeholders together with government, together with all of the policymakers in one room in order to address these things. We have to do it, you know, and we are not where we're supposed to be. I'm the first to admit. But where every single person in the value chain is willing and is leaning forward to solve this thing. So we'll be solving it shortly.
And I don't want to belabor it, but could you speak to Santaco and say to them, could we roll out a few taxis and make them part of the tourism story?
That is exactly the point. So if you remember, you know, many years ago, you know, the taxi system in London.
Yeah.
You remember
the black cabbies.
The black cabbies were integrated into the tourism system. So it has been done elsewhere in the world. So those are the kind of things that we will be discussing now in terms of not only on this to have tourism safety officers, but also to have tourism transport.
Yeah.
You know, taxis and things like that.
The CIA. The CIA enzyme.
Absolutely.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.